te vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 11, The Transcendental Qualities of Ritrasura, Text 20. Nanu Esha Vajras Tava Chakra Tejasa Harir Dadi Ches Tapasa Cha Tejitaha Tenaiva Shatru Jahi Vishnu Yantrito Yato Harir Vijaya Shrir Gunas Tataha Nanvesha Vajras Tava Chakra Tejasa Harer Dadi Ches Tapasa Chate Jitaha Tenaiva Shatrum Jahi Vishnu Yantrito Yato Harir Vijaya Shrir Gunas Tataha Nanvesha Vajras Tava Chakra Tejasa Harir Dadi Ches Tapasa Chate Jitaha Tenai Vashatrum Jahi Vishnu Yantrito Yato Harir Vijaya Shrir Gunas Tataha Nandesha Vajras Tava Chakra Tejasa Harer Dadi Ches Tapasa Chate Jitaha Tenai Vashatrum Jai Vishnu Yantrito Yato Harir Vijaya Shrir Gunas Tataha Nandesha Vajras Tava Chakra Tejasa Harir Vijaya Ches Tapasa Chate Jasa Nandesha Vajras Tava Chakra Tejasa Harir Dadi Ches Tapasa Chate Jitaha Tenai Vashatrum Jai Vishnu Yanchito Yato Harir Vijaya Sri Ganastataha Nandesha Vajras Tava Chakra Tejasa Harir Dadi Ches Tapasa Chate Jasa Tenai Vashatrum Jai Vishnu Sanchito Yato Harir Vijaya Sri Ganas Tataha Ladies. Mm-hmm. Tataha. Nanu, certainly, Eshaha, this, Vajraha, thunderbolt, Tava, of yours, Chakra, O Indra, Tejasa, by the prowess, Hare, of Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dadiche, of the Dichi, Tapasa, by the austerities, Cha, as well as, Tejitaha, empowered, Tena, with that, Eva, certainly, Shatrum, your enemy, Jahi, kill, Vishnu Yantritaha, ordered by Lord Vishnu, Yataha, wherever, Hari, Lord Vishnu, Vijaya, victory, Shri, opulences, Gunaha, and other good qualities, Tataha, there. So this is Vitrasura speaking. So translation by Srila Prabhupada. O Indra, King of Heaven, the thunderbolt you carry to kill me has been empowered by the prowess of Lord Vishnu and the strength of Dadichi's austerities. Since you have come here to kill me in accordance with Lord Vishnu's order, there is no doubt that I shall be killed by the release of your thunderbolt. Lord Vishnu has sided with you. Therefore, your victory, opulence, and all good qualities are assured. Purport. Vritrasura not only assured King Indra that the thunderbolt was invincible, but also encouraged Indra to use it against him as soon as possible. Vritrasura was eager to die with the stroke of the thunderbolt sent by Lord Vishnu so that he could immediately return home back to Godhead. By hurling the thunderbolt, Indra would gain victory and enjoy the heavenly planets, remaining in the material world for repeated birth and death. Indra wanted to gain victory over Vritrasura and thereby become happy, but that would not at all be happiness. The heavenly planets are just below Brahmaloka, but as stated by the Supreme Lord Krishna, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, Punarvartana Arjuna, even if one achieves Brahmaloka, he must still fall to the lower planetary systems again and again. However, if one goes back to Godhead, he never returns to this material world. By killing Vritrasura, Indra would not actually gain. He would remain in the material world. Vritrasura, however, would go to the spiritual world. Therefore, victory was destined for Vritrasura, not for Indra. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshu and Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurudeve Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this story is very intricate in many ways. You know, what seems apparent on a superficial reading turns out not to be what the real truth is. You know, one would expect, well, if Indra, the demigod, kills the demon Vritrasura, it's Indra who's going to get the best of it. But there are some deeper understandings. As we're going to find out, this demon, Vritrasura, although in the body of a demon, is actually a devotee of the Lord. This is going to become clear as we go through the sixth canto. You know, there is a devotee named Chitraketu who was cursed by Parvati, the wife of Lord Shiva, for some minor apparent offense, and he was cursed to become a demon. But he retained his consciousness as a devotee, even though in the body of the demon. And by Krishna's arrangement, you know, he is going to be killed by Indra. But anyone who is killed by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, they get liberation to different kinds of liberation. But because Vritrasura is actually a devotee of the Lord deep inside, you know, he's going to return to the spiritual world. So he's actually very eager for this to happen. So he's telling Indra, okay, use this weapon that you've got. You know, this invincible weapon, this thunderbolt, this vajra. Use it quickly. Because, you know, Vritrasura wants to go back home, back to Godhead. He'll be happy to be liberated from his demon body and be restored to his original position as a devotee in the spiritual world. So Indra, on the other hand, he'll get his victory, but as Srila Prabhupada is explaining here in the purport, he'll have to remain in the material world. He'll remain in the heavenly material planets, but the heavenly material planets are still part of the material world and are subject to the miseries of birth and death, janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. An intelligent person will realize that anywhere within, you know, the material world, there is birth, death, old age, and disease. Now, this morning, you know, I was on my japa walk. I was chanting, and, you know, I encountered, there was a poor man lying on the sidewalk, sleeping. So you could think how unfortunate that this person is lying on the sidewalk sleeping, homeless. That's very unfortunate. And then you think, yes, there's so many fortunate people, you know, in Beverly Hills, living in their mansions. But whether one is, you know, the homeless person lying on the street or pushing the shopping cart, you know, with gathering cans, or is the person living in Beverly Hills in a big house with all kinds of investments and properties, still, they're equally subject to the miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. And just because one is living in a nice house in Beverly Hills doesn't mean one is immune from birth, death, old age, and disease. So even Indra, you know, he's a powerful demigod with his position on a demigod planet where he enjoys a longer life than we do here on this planet and enjoys more material facility and material happiness than it's possible for anyone on this planet to enjoy, even if one is a big billionaire. Still, he's subject to birth and death. Srila Prabhupada quotes in his purport here, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Punarvarjana Arjuna. Now, even if somehow or other, by good karma, one gets the position of a demigod on the higher material heavenly planets, one still must come down. Shine punya martya lokam vishante. If by punya or good karma one gets some position as a demigod or as a wealthy person on this planet, still, when the karma runs out, then one's position is finished. And it's also the same with those who achieve impersonal liberation. You know, many people aspire for impersonal liberation into Brahman. They have this idea, yes, I'm suffering because I have individuality and personality. So the solution is give up individuality, give up desire, give up all that. That isn't really possible. Artificially, one can do it for some time. Yen yen arvindakshava muktimaninas tvayashtabhavad avashuddha buddhaya arura krishtrena param padam tata patantyado anadruta yushmat angreha. So it's explained that artificially, you know, one can put oneself into an impersonal state of mind. But it's described as vimuktimaninas. Mukti means liberation, and mukti manina means thinking that you're liberated, but not actually, you know, being liberated. So that's the condition of the impersonalist. They're trying to artificially think themselves into a state of liberation, freedom from suffering. And they can actually achieve it for some time, but it's artificial, because actually we are eternally individuals. We eternally have desires. And if we use those desires to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we do get real liberation. But if we put ourselves into an artificial desireless state, we cannot maintain that forever. Eventually, those desires are going to come out. And if they're not dovetailed in spiritual activity, they will be engaged in material activity again. So this Sanskrit verse I was quoting is saying, yes, temporarily one can put oneself into this desireless state, but eventually the desires will again manifest. And if they're not directed towards Krishna and Krishna's service, they'll be directed towards material happiness, material enjoyment, and one goes back down into the cycle of birth and death. So there's no permanent position other than the position of devotional service. But even that, you know, I mean, Srila Prabhupada says here, if one goes back to Godhead, he never returns to this material world. Krishna, you know, actually states that in Bhagavad Gita, punar janma na vidyate. If one goes to Krishna's supreme spiritual planet, there's no return. One doesn't come back. But there's a special understanding to what that actually means. What it actually means is you don't have to come back. But the option is still there to do it if you misuse free will. Say if one goes to the heavenly planets, one must come down. Chine poti marti lokam vishanti, because your karma will run out. And when the karma runs out, then you have to come back down to a lower planet like this one and go through struggle again in this world, trying to achieve some better position in this life and the next. If one goes to the Brahman effulgence, one must eventually come down. You can't stay there eternally. One must come down. Sort of like, but if you go to Krishna's spiritual world, to one of the Vaikuntha planets, you don't have to come down. There's no reason why you have to come back, other than you misuse your free will. It's like, say, if a foreign person comes to the United States, they have to have a visa, and the visa has some time limit on it. You know, they can stay for 60 days or 90 days or 5 years or whatever it is according to the visa. Then they have to go. They have to leave. Or if I want to go to India, you know, I have a visa and my passport. You know, I can stay for up to 180 days. But after that, they'll come looking for me. I have to leave. So, but if I'm a citizen of the United States, I can stay here. I don't have to leave. Nobody can force me to leave. But, say, if I misuse, you know, my freedom as an American citizen, say if I enlist in some foreign terrorist organization and fight the United States government or something like that, then I'll lose, you know, my American citizenship. It'll be taken away. I mean, there's nothing that says that has to happen, but if I misuse my free will, then I can lose my position. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada has stated this. Srila Prabhupada was on a morning walk in Denver, July 3rd, 1975, and a devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, I was just wondering if the spirit soul, being in the spiritual world, is eternally liberated, how can he return? Because Srila Prabhupada had said that. You know, devotees were asking him, well, in Bhagavad Gita it says if you go to the spiritual world, you don't return. Srila Prabhupada said, you can. So the devotee's asking him in this regard, I was just wondering if the spirit soul has been in this, being in the spiritual world, is eternally liberated, how can he return? By desire? Prabhupada, yes. He can come again. That option is always there. Just like I remain in India, I can come here. In other words, to America. And if I like, I may not come. It is my option. In another instance, in a morning walk in Mayapur, February 19, 1976, Achyutananda asked Srila Prabhupada, but in the Gita, it says, once coming there, he never returns. You know, once coming to Krishna's planet, one never returns. Srila Prabhupada asks, but if he likes, he can return. Achyutananda, he can return? Prabhupada, that independence has to be accepted. Little independence, we can misuse that. Krishna Bahir Mukahana Bhoga Manchakari. That misuse is the cause of our fall down. So, in this purport, Srila Prabhupada says, if one goes back to Godhead, he never returns to this material world. And that's the position that Vritrasura is going to get when he's killed by Indra. Of course, when we say killed, we mean kill the material body. The soul cannot be killed. namriyate jayate va kadachin. For the soul, there is no birth or death. For the body, there is, you know, birth and death, but the soul is eternal. So, we should aspire for, you know, the highest position. And we should know what our options are. What the choice of residences is. You know, for example, if you're going on vacation, you know, to some tropical island, you know, you may want to know what are the varieties of residences. What are the different types of residences that are available to me, and what facilities are there? So, similarly, when we look at the whole cosmos, everything that is, there are various residences for the soul. So some of the residences are in the hellish material planets where there's great suffering. Of course, nobody wants to go there. But yeah, I saw a survey once. It was asking people about their beliefs in hell. It was some Gallup survey, some survey by some prominent polling institution. And most people believe in hell. You know, 90%, you know, believe there is such a place. But 99% don't think they're going there. But from the Vedic point of view, we can understand that people are performing activities that are going to result in many of them going to such place to suffer the reactions for the actions they've committed. You know, for example, those who are eating meat of various kinds, meat, fish, so many types of animals, they're involved in the karma for killing those animals. Even though they may not kill them directly, there's a Vedic statement that those who are killing the animal, those who are selling the meat, those who are preparing the meat, those who are eating the meat, it's all like they're all members of a conspiracy, and they're all culpable for the reactions, the karmic reactions to that. So, and the karmic reactions are a little severe. One has to spend some time in an animal body and be killed, or go to one of the lower planetary systems and experience pain and suffering because of the pain and suffering one has caused to other living entities. So then that's one residence for the soul, and of course we don't want that. And then there's this earthly plane of existence where we have the opportunity to consciously, intelligently live our lives in such a way that we have control over what our next destination is. And if one takes up the process of bhakti yoga and seriously practices it, one is at least guaranteed another life in a human body on this level of existence where one has an opportunity to continue one's practice of bhakti yoga. Or one may be promoted to, you know, if one is performing bhakti yoga but still has material desires, then one may have to spend some time on a demigod planet enjoying heavenly material pleasures, but then again, you know, come down and again take up the path and try to come to the level of pure devotional service. If one engages in pure devotional service, then one is qualified to go back to the spiritual world from which one doesn't have to return. So I'll stop there. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes.
So, in Bhagavad Gita, his statement, then you can, you will never go home, you will never come back to material world. If you come back to the spiritual world, and it's explained, then because you're feeling burned by, like, from the fire, this is why you don't want to come back. But Srila Prabhupada said, then still you can, you have free will to, you know, you can still come back. So my question is, what kind of state of consciousness you have to have in spiritual world? I mean, it has to be some kind of like fear, then of falling down again. And is it possible to have this kind of consciousness? This is one question. Another question is it, is it pain actually if you're, for example, 70% Krishna conscious, if you're very serious, Krishna will give you, then go home back to Godhead. But in another sense, if you in this life, if you're 100% Krishna conscious, you know that you're going home back to Godhead because you have, you get Krishna prema, okay? So if both of them, these two devotees, they can come back, go to God, go home back to Godhead, is it maybe a reason that this one, who was only 70% Krishna conscious, and went back, he didn't maybe have enough lessons how is terrible this material world. It's just my question is working maybe like that, or I don't know. You understand the question?
Yeah. well, generally, you know, to answer a question, I like to have some statement from Guru, Shastra, or Sadhu. I can always speculate on the answer. But this, the first part of your question, devotees were asking Srila Prabhupada about that. Do you recall, you know, like, so there, Srila Prabhupada indicated, yes, you do learn a lesson. And, you know, by the experience, and it may not be consciously, you know, in your mind, but in your heart, you've kind of learned the lesson that to try to enjoy separately from Krishna, because this is Krishna Bahir Mukahana Boga Vanchakare Nikatashta Mayatare Japati Atare. That freedom to turn from Krishna is always there because love cannot be forced. Krishna cannot or does not want. Krishna could force, but Krishna isn't going to force us to love him. That means we're always going to have the freedom to think, well, I'm going to be better off on my own. You know, if I maintain some selfishness, some, you know, then that freedom is always there. But if one has once misused that freedom and experienced the result, you know, then that experience should protect one from making the same mistake again. You know, Srila Prabhupada said things like that. So, but we just often see that, you know, people, they know they've had experience, but still, you know, they do wrong things. You know, that can happen. That option is always there. So that's very, very unfortunate if somebody's in that position. And as far as your second question is concerned, it seemed to be the premise was somebody's 70% Krishna conscious and goes back to Godhead, and somebody's 100% Krishna conscious and goes back to Godhead. What's your reason for saying that a person who's 70% Krishna conscious can go back to Godhead? I'm just curious. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just wondering what your...
There is one conversation, probably you know about, Srila Prabhupada said, and you know this famous conversation, I think in LA, then if you are, he started 90%, 80%, 70%, and somebody was disturbed, oh, Srila Prabhupada, you know, we are not so much advanced. And like he said, I don't know, last one was maybe 70%. And even that, if you're not 70%, you just grab my lotus feet and I will bring you home back to Godhead. This is what he said.
Okay.
But still my question is...
Okay, so in a situation like that, it's like Krishna, the way I would understand something like that is that Krishna gives you some mercy. Say like you have to buy a diamond and you've got, it costs $1,000 and it's, you've got 700, and then somebody says, okay, I'll give you the extra 300. You still need the $1,000, but maybe Krishna gives it to you by causeless mercy. You know, removes those remains, because Krishna can remove your material desires. He can do that. That's possible. So, that this is just a kind of speculation on my part, a philosophical speculation that, you know, Prabhupada is saying, well, yeah, 70% you can go. That's if still you have to be pure to go back to Godhead, but you've made your effort up to 70%. Krishna gives you the other 30% and said, go, you know, like. Srila Prabhupada sometimes said that one can get an honorary PhD. The normal process is you have to work to get a PhD. Like I've got an honorary PhD from a... Literally, I do. Yeah, from the Devotee University in Budapest, Hungary, they gave me an honorary PhD, which they can do. Normally, you know, you have to go there and take the exams and write the thesis and everything like that. But, so, you know, Srila Prabhupada has said that. That's something I can say that as far as, you know, going back to Godhead goes, that's like getting a PhD, and you can get an honorary PhD. It's like called Kripa Siddha. Kripa, you know, there are different types of Siddha or perfection. One of them is Kripa Siddha. Normally, the process is Sadhana Siddha. You can be Nitya Siddha, eternally liberated. You can be sadhana siddha, which means you purify yourself to the required state. Or you can be kripa siddha, which means you get the honorary PhD. You haven't quite come to the standard yourself, but you. So I think the position you're describing, that 70% person who gets to go back to Godhead would be getting there by Kripa Siddha. But anyways, we're over time now, so I'll stop. Hare Krishna, glory to Srila Prabhupada.